And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Norway's State Lutheran Church has condemned the anti-Jewish legacy of Martin Luther, the 16th century German theologian who started the Protestant Reformation. In a statement issued on Friday ahead of next year's 500th year anniversary of the Reformation, the Church of Norway's General Synod said some of Luther's writings were later used in anti-Semitic propaganda, including in Nazi Germany. Noting that such propaganda was also spread in Nazi-occupied Norway during World War II, the Synod said that, in the Reformation anniversary year of 2017, we as a church must clearly distance ourselves from the anti-Judaism that Luther left behind. Luther's revolt against the abuses of the Roman Catholic Church began in 1517. With age, he became increasingly hostile towards Jews and called for their persecution. Meanwhile, Norway's official statistics agency says the country's Roman Catholic and Muslim communities have added tens of thousands of members in recent years, while the state Lutheran Church is declining. Statistics Norway said Friday the number of Catholics has jumped 42% since 2012 to 145,000 this year. Membership in Islamic groups rose by 32% to 148,000 in the same period. These figures were not broken down by denomination. The statistics showed Norway's tiny Jewish community had just 770 members at the start of 2016. The changes reflect Norway's growing diversity amid migration from Middle East, Asia, and Africa. The Lutheran Church's own statistics show it lost nearly 37,000 members in 2015. It remains Norway's biggest religious group, with 3.8 million members, about 73% of the population. Religious freedoms in everyday life are being eroded in modern Britain, a new report warns. Magistrates, teachers, foster parents, doctors and therapists have been disciplined, demoted or sacked for living in accordance with their beliefs, the paper from think tank Respublica said. Compromises to religious freedom seriously endanger the contributions of faith communities to the common good, the study argued. It called for the government to press ahead with a British Bill of Rights, incorporating a duty to make a reasonable accommodation for religious beliefs. Philip Blond, director of Respublica, said, "By refusing people the right to wear a cross or headscarf at work, we are eroding the good that could be achieved. We hear a lot about the bad things people do in the name of religion, but all faiths actually have a role to play in bringing communities together and stopping division. Those who go to a church, temple or mosque are far more likely to act in the public good, whether it is helping to deliver meals on wheels or running toddler clubs or simply being part of a group of like-minded people. A number of cases have attracted scrutiny in recent years, including legal battles involving the right of Christian employees to wear crosses at work. An opinion issued by an advisor to the European Court of Justice earlier this year said employers may be able to ban Muslim staff from wearing headscarves to work as long as it is part of a general prohibition on all religious symbols. Conservative MP David Burrows welcomed the new report. He said, "Religious liberty is a fundamental right, but recently we have seen it being downgraded compared to other human rights. Religious freedom is a universal human right which is foundational to a good society and should not be shunned or marginalized." Chief Executive of Christian Action Research and Education, Nola Leach, said, "Religious freedom can be seen as a luxury, but it is an essential human right that must be protected. We must allow for reasonable accommodation for religious belief in UK law so that policymakers and judges can balance the rights and freedoms that different groups and individuals are entitled to in the UK most effectively." Gurmil Singh, Secretary General of the Sikh Council UK, said, "The freedom of religion is an essential right in a free society, one that guarantees individuals the right to live according to their beliefs and to express their religion openly in the public sphere." The Guardian reports that China's most senior Catholic has blasted the Pope for a potential rapprochement between the Vatican and the Beijing, comparing it to striking a deal with Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin. Cardinal Joseph Zen, the former Bishop of Hong Kong, said any agreement the Church makes with China would be betraying Jesus Christ amid a thaw in more than six decades of bitter relations. The state-controlled China Catholic Patriotic Association still controls the church, and controversially appoints bishops without any input from the Vatican, meaning sermons could be marred with rhetoric from the Communist Party. And Cardinal Zen, 84, said that any agreement where Beijing would have a hand in approving clergy would be a surrender. Maybe the Pope is a little naive. He doesn't have the background to know the communists in China, Zen said at the Salesian school in Hong Kong where he teaches. The Pope used to know the persecuted communists in Latin America, but he may not know the communist persecutors who have killed hundreds of thousands. You cannot go into negotiations with the mentality, we want to sign an agreement at any cost. Then you are surrendering yourself. You are betraying yourself. You are betraying Jesus Christ, Zen told The Guardian. If you cannot get a good deal, an acceptable deal, then the Vatican should walk away and maybe try again later, he added. Could the church negotiate with Hitler? Could it negotiate with Stalin? No. There have been murmurings of a deal for months, but Zen argues the Vatican doesn't know the real China and the repression that Catholics still face in the country today. Chinese Catholics are free to go to Mass and attend government-sanctioned churches, but are barred from attempting to convert people into the religion. And should a deal be struck and the government still be able to appoint bishops of their choice, the cardinal said the gospel preached will still be influenced by the Communist Party. It's only the impression of freedom. It's not real freedom. The people sooner or later will see the bishops are puppets of the government and not really the shepherds of the flock. The official bishops are not really preaching the gospel. They are preaching obedience to communist authority, said Zen, who has been outspoken about the lack of political freedom and religious liberty in China. Francesco Sisky, an Italian scholar and journalist who is based in Beijing, said, a very wide-ranging agreement between the Vatican and Beijing appear to be on the cards, but it still remains unclear when details of the deal will be revealed. Sisky says the church sees an agreement as a major breakthrough for China and people of all faiths. The Vatican is eager to boost the number of Catholics in the country, who are 10 million in number according to official estimates. However, there could be far more due to an underground Catholic Church operation. The clergy have faced increased persecution for practicing their faith by authorities since the Tiananmen Square massacre in 1989. Protestant Christians also face similar hurdles, with a recent campaign by authorities in eastern China removing more than 1,200 crosses from buildings and demolishing churches. A reverend, known for displaying eye-catching slogans outside his church, is facing legal action because the council has classed it as advertising. The Reverend Bob Marshall has been erecting signs outside the Ebenezer Baptist Chapel in Buckey, North Wales, where he hopes to inspire churchgoers. The Reverend recently caused a stir after he used the phrase, "Forgiveness is swallowing when you want to spit," on a neighbour outside the church. But he didn't realise the risque connotations of the term and removed the slogan when he found out. Another saying, which sparked a few laughs but also had an important message, said, "Honk if you love Jesus. Text while driving if you want to meet him." He's been told by Flintshire Council's Chief of Planning, Andrew Farrow, he has to apply for advertisement consent for the sign or the local authority could take action. He later joked, "The Lord helped me to take it down because the wind blew it over." Originally from Indiana in the United States, the 71-year-old pastor says he rotates the messages on the board every couple of weeks to make people think and smile, and has been doing it for the past few years. Currently, it says, "Too many people have a strong will, and a weak will not." Reverend Marshall insists the slogans are not a business, and the sayings are not adverts. A letter from Mr. Farrow to the Reverend Marshall, dated November the 14th, said, "I can confirm that advertisement consent would be required, and having checked the planning records, it would appear no consent has been sought or granted. In the circumstances, you will need to apply for advertisement consent." Mr. Farrow ordered the sign to be removed within 7 days of the receipt of the letter. He added, "The Reverend could face enforcement action if he fails to comply." The Reverend Marshall said, "They are saying we have to have permission for an advertisement. We are a church, not a business, and these are not adverts, and it is on our property. They are sayings to make people smile and think, which I change just about every week. It's a community sign. I've had scores of people come up to me to say thanks. I don't understand why the council has asked me to do this now. I've been doing it for years. It just seems a bit petty, and it's like as though they are trying to show who's in charge." The Reverend Marshall, who has lived in Buckley for 30 years, said he may have to comply if the council won't change its mind. The Reverend and his wife Janice are members of the Baptist Bible Fellowship International based in Missouri. The organisation has around 5,000 ministries in approximately 110 countries. Since taking over the dilapidated chapel, the organisation has spent more than £10,000 restoring and renovating it with the help of volunteers within the congregation. Andrew Farrow, the council's chief planning and environment officer, said, "We would welcome further discussions with Reverend Marshall, and we will be contacting him with a view to resolving the situation." It may seem that on the face of it, religion has little in common with drugs, sex, and rock and roll, says the Daily Mail. But religious and spiritual experiences activate the brain reward circuits in the same way as more hedonistic pursuits, such as taking drugs, gambling, and listening to music, according to a new study. Researchers found spiritual feelings stimulated the nucleus accumbens, a brain region associated with processing reward, and which is known to play a role in addiction. Participants comprised 19 young adult church members, all devout Mormons. The volunteers all undertook four tasks designed to evoke spiritual feelings while their brains were monitored by an fMRI scanner. The hour-long session included resting as well as watching control and stimulating religious videos. During the questions part of the experiment, the participants were asked, "Are you feeling the spirit?" and were asked to gauge their response from not feeling to very strongly feeling. The volunteers reported feeling peaceful and warm inside, and some were in tears by the end of the scan when they felt a peak spiritual feeling when watching the stimulating church video. Based on fMRI scans, the researchers found that the powerful spiritual feelings were associated with activity in the area of the brain associated with processing reward. Researchers at the University of Utah School of Medicine set out to determine which brain networks are involved in representing spiritual feelings in one group, devout Mormons, by creating an environment that triggered participants to feel the spirit. The team performed fMRI scans on 19 young members, while the volunteers performed four tasks to try and evoke those feelings as part of the Religious Brain Project. The hour-long session included resting, watching control and stimulating videos, including a video of biblical scenes, quotations by Mormon and other religious leaders, the reading of familiar passages from the Book of Mormon, and 8 minutes of quotations. During the quotations part of the experiment, the participants were asked, "Are you feeling the spirit?" The volunteers reported feeling peaceful and warm. When our study participants were instructed to think about a saviour, about being with their families for eternity, about their heavenly rewards, their brains and bodies physically responded, said lead author Michael Ferguson, a bioengineering graduate student at the University of Utah. It has previously been found to be activated by taking euphoriant drugs such as amphetamines and by participating in rewarding experiences including music, sex and exercise. As this brain region lit up in the experiment, volunteers experienced peak feelings. Their hearts beat faster and their breathing deepened, according to the study published in the journal Social Neuroscience. In addition to the brain's reward circuits, the researchers found that spiritual feelings were associated with the medial prefrontal cortex. This complex region of the brain is activated by tasks including valuation, judgment, and moral reasoning. Spiritual feelings also activated brain regions associated with focused attention. Senior author and neuroradiologist Jeff Anderson said, "Religious experience is perhaps the most influential part of how people make decisions that affect all of us, for good and for ill. Understanding what happens in the brain to contribute to those decisions is really important." He said it is not known whether believers of other religions would respond in the same way. And finally, Britain's new plastic £5 notes bearing the portrait of wartime Prime Minister Winston Churchill have fallen foul of thousands of people who object to the use of animal fats in their manufacture. An online petition against the notes, started by campaigner Doug Moore, was signed by more than 13,000 supporters in less than 24 hours. "This is unacceptable to millions of vegans and vegetarians in the UK," Moore wrote in the online petition. "We demand that you cease to use animal products in the production of currency that we have to use," the petition continued, adding that some religious groups may also object. The Bank of England confirmed that tallow, which contains animal fats, is used in the production of the new currency, and said the substance was also commonly used in candles and soap. We can confirm that the polymer pellet from which the base substrate is made contains a trace of a substance known as a tallow, a bank spokeswoman said. The new light blue £5 notes were introduced in September. They are smaller and stronger with more security features than their predecessors, with the aim of making them harder to counterfeit. A plastic £10 note featuring the author of Pride and Prejudice, Jane Austen, is due to appear next year. I wonder if they will wax lyrical about that one too. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.